SFUva.ca.
Hey, SFU! Getting money back for all your empty or refundable bottles and cans just got a lot easier. Just sign up for Returned Express for free. You can bag your containers, tag the bag, and drop it through the window at the new Express and Go container in the East parking lot. Return It will count your containers and credit your refunds to your online account. Learn more at returnit.ca/SFU.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. It keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJS at 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
Hello and welcome to Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy at the Church of Stop Shopping in New York. Some of you will be joining us in person tomorrow night, November 26th at 6 p.m. at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater. Well, we live in very distressing times. Watching these adolescent narcissistic leaders of tribes slaughter each other's children in plain sight. In the Church of Stop Shopping, we believe that this is inevitable if you divide yourself from the physical environment you live in. If you say that the earth is not a part of your human life, and that divide between the natural world and the human culture is what we'd like to concentrate on today, with help from Gail Bradbrook, one of the founders of Extinction Rebellion in England, and Al Noor Lada. Al Noor is the founder of The Rules, which is concerned with reinventing governance. And he's been on the International Board of Greenpeace. And, well, they both have illustrious resumes. Gail and Al Noor, we're so glad you're with us. My plan is, because the three of us had this wide-ranging conversation a week ago, the way we talk and our format doesn't fit into necessarily this 29-minute Earth Riot Radio format. So the idea would be just to ask you to be our companions and trust me and our editor, Jason Candler, to drop in to whatever we're discussing or singing on our show a 3 or 4 or 5 minute comment from you. You'll be our wise consultants. Is that all right? Amen. And listeners, will you accept this invitation to have some people always present with us over the next several Earth Riot radios? All right, here we go. Are you ready? We're inviting the Earth to be with us now over the next while. Let's try to solve this violence and emerge in a peaceful world. Earth-alluia. Peace-alluia.
Earth-alluia. 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 Earth-alluia.
Thank you.
get the blues. All that shopping gets me depressed. But what really gets me down is that damn convenience.
What you're speaking about, Elnora, myself and my sister Skeena, a couple of years ago, and we haven't really manifested this yet, but we were talking about making an oath to life. I suppose it was just how to, and our mutual dear sister Lynn talking about what liberation theology would be for these times, you know, like how could we do something that would have real meaning? Is it public? Is it communal? That speaks to that longing to marry life almost, you know, to use that language, to say, this is my choice. And I, you know, like any kind of marriage, when one of you's not well, it's going to, I'm not going to get it right all the time, but a feeling, an impetus for us designing, creating something that's genuinely cultural that helps us to make that statement publicly. I think the other aspect of it as well is naming the collapse that we're now in. Jem Bendel's new book, which is called Breaking Together, it's launched this summer. He goes through the data on what it looks like when civilizations collapse, where our data is at, various indicators. And that suggested that we entered collapse in 2015, so before COVID. And there's something like in that tradition of thinking, as Vanessa Mercado de Olivieri talks about in Hospice in Modernity, that like we're not trying to, that doesn't mean everything's going to come to an end. It means something's ending. And of course it can collapse into something worse. But how do we talk about that as well? Because that's part of naming something. I quite like that phrase, breaking together, you know, rather than...
Yes, what a wonderful book.
And prepping and storing up tins of beans. I'm not against that, but, you know, like...
I don't know if wonderful is the right word, but...
Yeah, well, it's something to face together, isn't it, and turn towards. And I'm talking about it with my brother Kofi tonight, and, like, it's important... That narrative from the global north, like probably one of the best things we could do with our family in the global south at the minute, is name that we're in a state of collapse, because they're still getting shown modernity as this shiny thing that they should be aspiring to, even though it's on their backs and extracted from the earth. And maybe a handpicked few might get chosen to sort of be puppets for the regimes, etc. Anyway, so there's big political choices here, but there's something about something being named very... beautifully, meaningfully, concretely. It's not like it has to take one form, of course, but I feel that there's a need in me, I think.
Future lost its time. But you and I survive. What was that flying out beyond the sky? Meet me on higher ground, above the waters rise, where our peace floods out. I wish you.
Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri Dee. The world's biggest iceberg, larger than the state of Rhode Island, is on the move for the first time in over three decades. Measuring 4,000 square kilometers and some 400 meters thick, the city-sized iceberg A23A was created in August 1986 when it was calved from the Antarctic coastline. The floating ice chunk quickly became ground in the muddy seafloor and stayed put in the Weddell Sea. Now satellite images have shown it has moved significantly over the past few years. Like most icebergs of the Weddell Sea, it's expected that A23A will drift along with the Antarctic circumpolar current and eventually end up in the South Atlantic Ocean. Eventually, like all icebergs, it will melt away to nothing. The reason for the iceberg's sudden voyage is yet to be understood. Portugal just ran on entirely renewable energy for a record-breaking six consecutive days. The country produced more renewable energy than was consumed for 149 consecutive hours. Beating a previous high of 56 consecutive hours, Portugal also managed to go natural gas-free for 131 hours in a row. And for 95 of those hours, produced enough clean energy that some could be exported to neighboring Spain. In utero, exposure to common air pollutants may lower semen quality and increase the risk of reproductive system disease in men, new research finds. The peer-reviewed Rutgers University study looked at whether exposure to particulate matter called PM2.5 and nitrogen oxide may shorten the distance between the anus and genitals, or the anogenital distance in developing fetuses and newborns. Anogenital distance is a marker of reproductive health related to hormone levels, lower semen quality, fertility, and reproductive disorders. And the research identified a likely link between it and exposure to the pollutants. Thousands of young children go to schools within just 200 feet of farms where pesticides are likely to be sprayed, a new analysis of farms across the United States has found. Although most states have laws restricting how and when pesticides can be applied near schools, pesticide companies and their allies in Congress are trying to preempt such laws. Farmers apply about 1 billion pounds of pesticides every year in the U.S., including a dozen particularly dangerous compounds banned in the European Union. Growers may be applying any number of toxic pesticides within just 200 feet of more than 4,000 elementary schools. The biggest threat to bat populations in the Southwest is wind turbines. Roughly 500,000 bats die each year from wind turbine collisions. Just flying close to the wind turbines can be fatal. A blade slicing nearby creates enough air pressure to kill a bat that it doesn't even strike. The 2023 State of the Bats report predicts that four bat species in the U.S. could lose more than half of their population due to wind energy facilities in the next 15 years if no mitigation measures are taken. While bird deaths have long been cited as a drawback of wind power, the turbines' impacts on bats could have much larger environmental impacts. More than one in five of Earth's mammals are bats, which have 1,400 species that can be found on every continent except Antarctica. Between pollination, seed dispersal, and pest control, bats are an integral part of balancing ecosystems all over the globe. 12 of the world's wealthiest billionaires produce more greenhouse gas emissions from their yachts, private jets, mansions, and financial investments than the annual energy emissions of 2 million homes. The tycoons include the Amazon boss Jeff Bezos, the Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich, the tech billionaires Bill Gates, Larry Page, and Michael Dell, the inventor and social media company owner Elon Musk, and the Mexican business magnate Carlos Slim. Analysis of their luxury purchases, which include superyachts, private jets, cars, helicopters, and palatial mansions, combined with the impact of their financial investments and shareholdings, reveals that they account for almost 17 million tons of CO2 and equivalent greenhouse gas emissions annually. Through the corporations they own, billionaires emit a million times more carbon than the average person, equal to the emissions of 4.6 coal-fired power plants over a year. Activists from the Australian pressure group Rising Tide successfully halted all movement at the port of Newcastle on Australia's east coast this weekend. A total of about 1,500 people were involved in the protest. At present, due to the number of people currently in the shipping channel, all shipping movements have ceased due to safety concerns, irrespective of the cargo they are carrying or intend to load, a port of Newcastle spokesperson said. Rising Tide said it hoped the flotilla of kayaks and small boats would block the export of around 500,000 tons of coal over the weekend. Australia is one of the largest coal exporters in the world. New research combines both physiological and archaeological evidence to argue that not only did prehistoric women engage in the practice of hunting, but their female anatomy and biology would have made them intrinsically better suited for it. From a metabolic standpoint, the female body is better suited for endurance activity, which would have been critical in early hunting because they would have had to run the animals down into exhaustion before actually going in for the kill. Anatomically, the female's wider hips allowed for more rotation and longer steps, which would have aided them in the pursuit of large game. Forensic study of bones and remains show the marks of traumatic animal injury incurred by hunting, and women were often buried with hunting weapons. There is no reason to believe that prehistoric women abandoned their hunting while pregnant, breastfeeding, or carrying children, nor is there any indication in the deep past that a strict sexual division of labor existed. Basically, survival was an all-hands-on-deck activity. There weren't enough people living in groups to be specialized in different tasks. Everyone had to be a generalist to survive. Common portrayals of women as physically inferior or the so-called weaker sex are not supported by science. A deep space experiment traveling on NASA's Psyche spacecraft has just beamed a message via laser to Earth from far beyond the moon for the first time, an achievement that could transform how spacecraft communicate. In the farthest ever demonstration of this type, the Deep Space Optical Communications beamed a near-infrared laser encoded with test data from its position around 16 million kilometers away, which is around 40 times farther than the Moon is from the Earth. Laser communication can transmit vast amounts of data at unprecedented speeds by packing data into the oscillations of these light waves, encoding an optical signal that can carry messages to a receiver via infrared light. Allowing the transmission of more data will allow future missions to carry much higher resolution science instruments, as well as allow for faster communications on potential deep space missions, making possible live streams from the surface of Mars. And now, the sound of extinction. Decades after they were wiped out by Soviet hunters on their way to the Antarctic, blue whales are making a return to the crystal clear waters of the Seychelles in the Indian Ocean. Researchers spent a year recording beneath the waves to detect the whales after filmmakers caught sight of them in 2021 and found they could be breeding in the area. Blue whales are the largest animal to have ever lived on Earth, growing up to 30 meters in length and weighing up to 150 tons. Once prolific in the Indian Ocean and beyond, sustained hunting in the 20th century resulted in more than 340,000 blue whales being killed. The song of the blue whale, despite being the loudest in nature, is inaudible to humans. Although reaching up to 188 decibels, equivalent to a jet engine, the frequency is so low, it is beyond the range of human hearing. The Seychelles is just one area in which blue whales are making a return. In recent years, they have returned to the waters around South Georgia, and in 2021, they were spotted off Spain's Atlantic coast for the first time in more than 40 years. And hear the song of the blue whale. Thank you.
you mentioned this idea of bifurcation, right? In the sense that we have like extreme psychosis, you know, empire, onslaught, perpetual war, increasing, and we also have people who are reclaiming their sovereignty in communal ways and are awakening to what's happening. And then we also have this kind of polarity between nature and culture, as you described it. And, you know, one definition I like of the Anthropocene to describe this current period in time is that it's a time where nature moves faster than culture, right? That, right, human culture used to outpace geological time because it was moving so fast. And now we're in this age of consequence, you know, by 5,000 years of the city-state and patriarchy and heteronormativity and white supremacy and extraction and commodification and, you know, rape, pillage, violence, and, you know, all of the factors of this so-called culture, this dominant culture, the master narrative, are all coming to head now. And as you say, a third of the U.S. is in emergency, in climate emergency, and it's going to be more and more of the lived human geography, and the response to that is those who are benefiting from the existing system. And this is not to say that there is just a few benefiting. Of course, we are all complicit in the system. But there are those who disproportionately benefit from the system, and those who are primary movers and drivers of the existing system, they are going to double down with fascism and denial in the face of what's happening. And we're feeling that exasperation. And all the feedback loops we get are being mediated by organs of the neoliberal operating system. So we talk about the post-truth world, and it's because the media is set up in order to perpetuate the story from the culture it comes. And so we're in some ways in a civilizational checkmate moment, and we're becoming aware of that. And I think what Gail's pointing to is like part of our obligation at this moment is to become conscientious objectors of the master narrative. And on one level, it is at the body, at the soma, and at another very critical level, that soma has to find other somas to be in community with in order to say, this culture does not represent us, and nor do we want to be complicit in it any longer.
Who are you? You're Bill Clinton? You're Bill Clinton's ghost? What happened to New York? Oh. You're gonna go there on purpose? Now? It's on fire. Oh, you think you can make money, huh? All right. Save ourselves. When guns and torches are dropped, they're all dropped, so we can touch. When cops jail bankers. Why? To save the kids of cops and bankers. When Christmas is abandoned. Black and brown lesbians run the Department of Justice. When we have this great idea, resist extinction, resist extinction, resist. Resist extinction, resist extinction, resist. best.
When we take personal responsibility for this superstorm, when we go outside until outside is no longer outside, when we stop calling the storm some kind of criminal scandal, when we climb mountains and cross rivers and cross deserts to be with you, when we're willing to do what it takes to save ourselves, when we see that our spare room is a young mother's dream, when we feel years of laughter, when we feel that we're stopping our shopping and we're starting our living, when we're grateful, grateful, grateful at Thanksgiving that we are radically changing. When is the time?